This is an advertisement for BetterHelp Therapy Online. There are so many things that kids are curious about and they just have no fear diving in to learn something new.
Yeah, like how to do a wheelie.
Yeah. And then as we grow older, we don't take the time out to learn new things. But curiosity doesn't have to be lost to childhood. Thankfully, therapy can help you reconnect with your inner child and get you excited to learn and grow again.
Now, I might not be able to teach you how to do a wheelie, but it helps give you the skills to get back on the bike no matter how many times you've fallen off.
If you're thinking about starting therapy, then why not give BetterHelp a try?
All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge.
And it's entirely online, making it convenient, flexible, and suitable no matter your schedule.
With over 5,000 therapists available, BetterHelp can provide access to mental health professionals with a wide variety of expertise.
Rediscover your curiosity with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/bollocks to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/BOLLOX.
Go Loud. Talking Bollocks with FBT Gyms. Unleash your fitness potential with no contract and full class access. FBTGyms.ie.
Go Loud. Sounds better with us.
What you waiting for? Put your back in it. Just a little more. Throw your weight in the ground. Tell your body you're
paid. Walk it hard and slow. When you feel the death. The Hypnocker. Come up. Episode 194 of the Talking Bollocks podcast brought to you by Go Loud. Just before we get started, a quick shout out to our sponsor, FBT.
FBT Gyms is the best in the business, giving you so much more than your average gym.
Join us in a supportive environment dedicated to helping you achieve your fitness goals, with locations in Swords, Coolock, Drogheda, and the new location now open in Tallaght.
Whether you're a beginner or a seasoned athlete, FBT provide resources, motivation, and expertise to empower your fitness journey.
Memberships include a free introduction to the gym to get you started.
Unleash your potential at FBT Gym for only €44 a month, with no contract and full class access. Sign up at fbtgyms.ie today.
It's me, CLB.
It's me, 30 Flower.
Today we're joined by...
John O'Sullivan.
John, you hesitated there. What do I say?
Yeah, why did you panic, man?
Because you didn't tell me that was going to happen there.
Well, you said you've listened to a few episodes.
Yeah, one or two, like.
One or two. The two was Ma was on.
Ma was on them, exactly. I had to listen to them ones.
Come here, John. What's the last few days been like? You had to win the league as a Shells player, fellas, you
know? I don't know how much I'm allowed to say, to be honest. But yeah. No, listen, like I said, me literally just got my voice back, I think, yesterday.
You still sound rough.
But, yeah, no, I'm all right now. I'm grand. But it's a few demons there from the weekend. No, but listen, it's been... I don't know if I'm allowed to swear in this, but it's been some. I don't know. It's been some week, man. Holy Jesus! I wish we didn't win the league at this stage. But
row off
the from Derry away till the Saturday at Tolka to the private team one on the Sunday with a band and stuff. It's been crazy. And then
he hesitated when he was saying the private team one. That must have been where it all went down, John, but we'll
see. Nah, it's none of that. Just them.
I've seen the video. So that was the one with the strippers, wasn't it? Oh,
all the boys getting lifted.
We cut that out for him. Missus listens to this one, please. Nah. So we're starting the podcast like that now, are we? Okay.
Nervous laughing.
No, and then it was to Lisbon on the Thursday with just the team, and it's been non-stop, to be fair, but it's been, tough 11 months and it's been well-earned, I think. Yeah. With
100%.
Winning the league and stuff, so yeah. It's been quality.
Seeing the stories of everyone, it's like, John, when a team wins the All-Ireland and they do a tour and they're just constantly on the piss then for like 3 weeks with the trophy everywhere they go.
Yeah,
that's what yous are like.
Yeah, I think people are getting sick of it now. Even myself, I'm seeing posts go up and I'm like, just leave that now for a while. I just want to forget about it. I wanted to get home and sleep for a week. So, it's been unbelievable. If I could roll back to last Friday or 10 days ago when we won the league, I'd live in that moment forever. But the partying, I'll probably leave now for the next 6 months. And then when we win it again, then I'll probably party again. But at this stage, I'm done.
Yeah, but it's been 18 years. You need to think about how big that is. I heard someone say the last time they remember Shells winning the league, the last time when they got on the pitch for the trophy presentation. And now they were on the pitch saying Saturday for the trophy presentation. And they're all there with their mates. But now their mates are there and they all have their kids.
Yeah.
So like they're looking at each other being like, fuck, do you remember the last time we done this? Yeah. So you need to think about it. It's monumental by people.
Yeah, to be honest, like we haven't really had time to reflect on what we've actually done. It's just been up to Derry, you get the job done and party for a week, you know, and obviously do a couple of things in between. But I, to be honest, we haven't had a moment to actually sit back, relax and actually think about what we've achieved, you know, what we've done. Like I said, start of the year, no one gave us any hope. And, you know, that made it special a bit more. Like I said, Terence was on to me during the year saying he's bottling it, he's doing this, he's doing that. And we just fed off that. We loved it. And you know what I mean? To be the ones to knock Rovers off their throne where everyone thought it would be Derry, Pats, Bowes, made it even better for us. And I referred it to when Leicester won the Premier League because it is that type of season where we probably had one of the lowest budgets. We probably had a group of lads who were at other clubs and everyone said they were finished, they were this, they were that. And we were thrown together as a group of misfits. And to do that makes it even better. And listening to all the hate from the outside and the you know, they're not going to do it just made it even better. And the gaffer thrives off that. And I do myself. I love that attitude where, listen, we have no chance at the start of the year, so let's go and show everyone what we can do. Like,
I think it's a 25-1 at the start of the season to win the league.
Yeah, I think my dad might have thrown something on that, but I don't know if that's allowed to happen. But I think one of his mates did because he came to watch us in pre-season and actually said, "Yous are actually decent." I don't know what he thought we were going to be, but he came to the Longford game last pre-season game and went, "Yous have actually a chance here. Like, yous look strong. You've got some top players in there who have done bad at other clubs, and the manager's a master at signing players that have done well in the past and you know, lost away a little bit, and he pushes to the brink of not wanting to play football anymore, but he gets the best out of his squad. You have to give him that. Like,
why does that work, John? Because like you said, there has been a few players who kind of went off track a little bit in their careers, and you can see a couple of yous are in there. I'm going to put you on that bracket as well after the season that you had at Bowers. But to put yous all together then, and for yous all to gel like that, and to go and win the league at 25-1, how does that even happen?
I don't know. Like, for me personally, the manager, he, obviously, you know, I know Lukey really well. He was a good friend of mine, and he's a great guy. And when I first came home, he was annoyed at me because I went to Bowers because, you know, he knew that I support Shells as a kid, and he knew that me and him had a relationship, but Shells at the time just weren't that, where it looked like Bowers were going that way, and you know, and Keith Long wanted me, and I just feel when a manager rang me and I spoke to him when in the off season when I left Bowers, he just said, "There's no way someone like you plays as long as you did in England and just fall off a cliff. There has to be, you know, something behind it." He got to know me as a person. I got to tell him my story. I got to tell him why I came home. People don't know all this. And he listened to it, and he loved my attitude. He loved my skills as a leader and all that. And I just think he genuinely cares. I don't think he says things he doesn't mean. If he thinks you have to do something, he bluntly says, you know, you need to get fitter, you need to lose a bit of weight, you need to do this to play in my team. But I like who you are as a person, and I'm going to push you to the brink to get the John O'Sullivan that played in England, who played for the Ireland underage teams. And I just think he genuinely gives his whole life to the team and the group. And no wonder he's had the career he has. And I think he does the same in football. So I just think, especially with the other group of lads that I have, is that it's you more look at the managers at the other clubs of why they weren't getting the best out of players and why he is. And it's not just the manager, it's the, you know, Joey's there, Mero, Davey, Skins, all the staff that are day in, day out pushing us to get the best out of us. And if he doesn't get the best out of you, he'll just get rid of you. He'll just go, "You're not giving me what I need." And he for how good he is as a manager, he'll get rid of you if you're not doing the work and not giving him what he needs.
Cutthroat.
Oh, yeah, 100%, yeah.
Well, that's a winning mentality, isn't it? Mm-hmm. So be honest with us here, John. Did he really come in at the start of the season and did he say, "We're pushing to win this league now"? Or was that right, let's see how well of a start we can get off there and then go from there?
No, well, he genuinely believed it. And I'm not just, I reckon that every club, bar one or two in the league this year, would have said in the dressing room at the start of the year, "We want to win the league," because there's only 10 teams in the league, really. And you look at the way the league finished, Pats, us, Rovers, Derry, you know, Galway were in it for a while, Waterford were there for a while. And, you know, genuinely, there was 6 or 7 teams that could have won it this season. But he did. He came in and there was no two ways about it. It was first year, I think it was, they they stayed up, or and then they got Europe.
Cup final the first year,
exactly. And then they got Europe. And he said the natural progression is win the league. And he says, I've seen people in this dressing room who aren't just here for their football ability, they're here for their, you know, their experience, their leadership. You know, we saw in Sean Gannon, who's won, I think, 500 league titles at this stage. And, you know, does not think he's won the most. And if you actually look through our squad now at the end of the year and you reflect on it, you go, they had a really good squad. They just, everyone just looked past us because they just thought that small mind mentality of they're just shells, you know, they won't do anything. But we thrived off that. And, you know, we, I think we beat Rovers the first two times we played them. We beat Pats the first three times we played them. You know, I don't think we lost to Derry this season. So to win any league, you have to beat the people around you and the teams that you're competing with. And we knew we had the squad to do that. And I think we did a question for each player. I had to go up and do a few questions about themselves and all. And generally, the whole squad said, we can win this league with this group that we have in this dressing room. Now, it's easy to say that. I think everyone says it. But from the preseason, we had the games. I think we beat everyone in preseason that we played. And the way we started the year just gave us that, you know, momentum to continue on.
So Luke Bowen was just being humble when we had him in, because we asked him if Shells have a chance to win the league. And he went, oh, well, Rovers will be the favourites and all. In the back of his head, he was going, we're going to win this league.
Yeah, 100%. Like, you have to say it. Like, you can't really come out. But Luke put the squad together, you know, a lot of the squad together. He's the first person I spoke to before I signed for Shells. So he
could have been trying to avoid a headline as well, though, saying that.
Yeah,
because then everyone would have took notice of us a little bit. Where
Duffa would have blamed Bettmer when he got
it. Yeah, no, it's keeping in-house, keep everything in-house. Yeah, let everyone hate us. We love that. Do you know what I mean? It's like that Jose Mourinho mentality, us against the world kind of thing.
Definitely,
yeah.
John, I have a zinger for you. Go on, what are we going to say?
Oh, I was going to say, have you got a zinger?
No.
I've won, but not yet. We said it to you about 15 minutes ago. Come up with a zinger.
I know, but I'll think you give me one first.
Right, so because he's won the league, he's going to the Champions League qualification next year. Yeah, I think it's the very first round, isn't it?
Yeah.
He's going to. Would you take Champions League group stage guaranteed right now?
This in the old format, obviously.
No, this is the new format. You get into that group. Right. The Swiss model, the bleeding 36
league. Toil Champions League thing.
That 36 league thing, yeah. Big stupid yoke.
The proper Champions League.
Yeah, you get into that 36 thing, or you get a league and cup double.
Oh, that is a tough one.
That's a great zinger. You can actually take your time on this.
But I didn't think you were going to say anything that could compete with qualifying. I don't know, that's a tough one.
Because you can play anybody in that big 32. Like,
yeah, from a selfish standpoint.
You'd be going Anfield and all.
There's a couple of things here on that. From a selfish standpoint, like,
he's just thinking of the bonus.
No, yeah, well, obviously the whole, I'm thinking about the whole team, their families, their kids.
That old chestnut,
obviously. But then from, you know, to play in the Champions League is like the World Cup Champions League. It's, you know what I mean?
It's the pinnacle of
and like
football.
To do it with Shells. And I think the fact we won the Cup, the league this year, what else could you give the fans that they haven't had? Like, probably, you know, you how hard it is to get.
Well, imagine going to the Bernabeu.
Imagine the Shells went going, New Camp and all, whatever it is for the weekend. I'd probably take, to get into the Champions League, we would have had to win the league. So I don't know.
Yeah, but like right now, you're going to go into that
Take Champions League.
You take the Champions League.
I would,
That's from an individual point of view.
Yeah, I would take Champions League. Yeah, but then
what do you reckon the fans would want?
I'd say they take Champions League.
For
the trips.
But you don't, when we beat the fans, when we beat Josephs in the qualifiers, it was like, honestly, the stadium was the size of this room, like this how many fans we had, but they were so loud. They followed us to Zurich.
Yeah.
Like that was, you know what I mean? It's honest to God. Like, I know winning the league is the best thing we've done this year, but that's been in between the year, probably the second and third best thing we've done.
Yeah. And plus you get two games after Christmas as well in the new format, because it's eight games. Yeah, so you'd get two games after.
You get eight trips basically for the fans to go, like you said, could get round. Ah, you have to take that.
Yeah.
The Champions League now, you have to. If it's the Europa League, I might take the double.
Yeah. And even the Europa League, you'd have to take it because you get eight games in that as well. Conference League, you can keep it.
No, I know, but I think he just means purely down to the trips.
Like for the fans, I'm thinking like the fan and like family and thing. And then even for the club financially, like if you qualify for that, you become like the club set for how long as well for that, you know, stadium. Like
now signing Van Dijk and all the boys.
Yeah.
Boy, they be pinning Van Dijk, so it's a good one. I take that, yeah. What would you take?
No, I don't have a zinger, boys. I have a question for you, though.
Okay.
Because you've had a long career in football and you're still going. You've still got a long way to go, yeah? Who was the best player you ever played with?
Played with?
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
Give us with and against. It's probably a tough one, is it?
Yeah, with's the hardest one. I've never really thought about players I've played with.
Is there anybody that you've trained with and you've just went, fuck me?
Yeah, there's a couple of lads. You probably won't remember. I'm old now, lads. I don't even remember Blackburn back in their heyday when they were, you know, Champions League and stuff. Like Gams Pedersen, Roque Santa Cruz. They were like, I remember I was 15 when I signed for Blackburn. And little bullet head who floated around in town and then went elsewhere. You know, I went up to train with the first team. And I was a sturdy lad when I went, you know, my whole thing was being physical. Went up to train with the Premier League boys. I looked like an ant. Like, they were just, I remember Chris Samba, I tried to like give him a little kick in training. Now, I didn't train with them. I just got brought up on a Friday. The reserves got to do the shape against the first team. And I went in to give him some. I was like hitting a brick wall, like, just a plank.
But Chris Samba out of everything.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
The fucking winner. Yeah. Yeah. Big fridge.
Yeah, exactly.
Was Keith
me, I was always, yeah, Keith was there.
Keith was
yeah.
in there with you, was he? What was he like with you?
Yeah. The little nervous laugh.
So now what? He wasn't really there playing when I was there. But obviously, everyone knows his stories and stuff.
Yeah.
But for me, he was great with me. He probably doesn't remember this, but he came down to train with the youth team one of the times, and he trained with us. He got bombed away from the first team, and the academy manager brought us in at the end of training, and he said to Keith, you know, how hard is it to get in the first team? Tell the lads, whatever, you know, you have to give it this, you have to give it that. And everyone's like, oh, what's he going to say? And he went, nah, not really. It's actually quite easy, to be honest with you. Then just walked off, like, because you know what he's like. He's just a character. And then I ran after him and asked for his boots, and he gave them to me, to be fair to him. Now, he might not remember that, but me, 15, 16, it was like the biggest thing ever.
He said the reason Martin Gams Pedersen kept him out of the first team was because he had a better throw-in than him.
Yeah, it probably was, yeah.
That's what he said. Sam Allardyce said his throw-ins are better than yours, and he's like, that's what you have to be a Premier League footballer.
Yeah, if you ask any of the lads, like, he was thought of like one of the best players there. He went along to Preston, and I think he ripped up the championship. Like, he was, ability-wise, they thought he was going to be, like, you know, Premier League, you know, week in, week out, but obviously he had his own, you know,
his own demons,
the battle, yeah.
Give us the player you played against there, because you seem to have that one locked in. Or?
No, I always get asked that one, to be fair. And then, like, I hate throwing like names, because you're just like, you're thinking of the biggest name. But when I was U team, Pogba was the U team as well. So we used to play Man United U team every 2-3 weeks.
With Rafael Morrison, no?
Rafael Morrison, Pogba, Lingard, Cole.
Yeah.
There was the team was unbelievable. But I remember my best mate, who's still my best mate today, Reese Hans, he was a top player as well. I remember we signed at the same time. Blackburn bought him from Sheffield United, and obviously Blackburn bought me from Belvo. But we used to have some battles off Pogba and Ryan Tunnicliffe. I remember him. He was in there as well. And it was just, he was always thought of as the best, you know, youth team player. And me and Reese, like, the year I was at Blackburn, youth team, we actually won the youth age, and we got to the cup final and got beat by Chelsea. But I just remember those battles with him. I think it improved me as a player, because I needed loads of improvement going to Blackburn. But I just remember playing against him. He's just so good. Like, you know, when just runs with a ball, and it was just effortless, and he'd do nothing for like the whole game, and then he'd just curl on top corner. And it's just probably the biggest disappointment for me as a United fan was, you know, him coming back and not doing well there. But best player playing against by far is Pogba. I remember just playing against him, like, I used to give him a good battle, but he was just levels above everyone as a kid. Like,
yeah, how good was, I don't even know if you'll fully remember, but how good was Rafael Morrison being on you?
Unbelievable.
But everybody speaks about him just being the biggest waste of talent.
Yeah, but he was the best talent effortlessly. But I think the reason why he done so well was because he just didn't care.
Yeah.
So, you know, like, he just played with freedom. So everyone thought he was so good because it was just free, and he'd take the ball anywhere. He'd think it, he'd put it through your legs. But he's very good.
Just
he was
just insane. Footballer.
Oh, like, I remember one time, like, I think Reese just nailed him, and he just got up and was like, oh, me and my boys are going to get you when we get out of here, blah, blah, and all this. And actually, he probably would. So I was like, nah, Reese, we'll come back away from that one a little bit. I mean, we'll leave that one, but he's some player.
Yeah. John, what we do with every guest if you want to take us back to the start, where are you from? What was life like growing up for you?
Oh, jeez.
Isn't that a hard question?
Yeah, because you just where you start, obviously. Yeah. When I was in my mom's belly, like, but like, how far are we going back here?
To what you can remember, life growing up.
No, listen, to be honest with you, I can't really remember life growing up. I think you obviously know me ma and her story and the traumatics of probably the early for both of our lives. And I don't really remember much growing up as a kid. You know, I have flashbacks of being like a toddler. I grew up and I was born, and I don't want to say this on this podcast because you have a lot of followers, but unfortunately I was born in Birmingham to start with. Obviously with my ma, my dad at the time who was knocking about, and we grew up in Birmingham with us, and then I moved to Dublin when I was four years old, as you probably know a little bit as well. But no, we moved to Dublin. My nanny and granddad are from Ireland, so we moved over to them to get away from where we lived in England. You know, it was, you know, poor area, there wasn't much going on, it was just full of wasters, and my ma knew that she wanted to get me away from that. You know, my dad, original dad, who we don't like speaking about anyway, he was out of the picture. It's just me and my ma growing up, and we moved to Dublin, and to be honest, it's probably the best decision my ma and I know saying the decision, but the best decision we could have ever made. And grew up in, my nanny and granddad were living in, I think, Mount Prospect in Clontarf. My great-granddad had a nice big house there. And I lived there with them for 5-6 years. You know, my ma was there at times and not there at times. You know, she was getting her own life together, and I was fortunate enough to have my grandparents there to help raise me, you know. So we lived with them. And then when my ma did get her stuff together, we moved to a very fancy place called Summerhill. You know, she obviously wanted us to get into the nice schools and the nice areas and all that stuff, you know, and we moved to Summerhill. And to be honest with you, it's probably the best thing I can remember. It's probably the best time of my life, to be honest with you. You know, it was just pure carnage, you know. I had a big group of mates, you know. I went to O'Connell's, I could walk down the road to, and just street ball, you know, get up every day, go to school, look forward to break, to kick a tennis ball around, you know, finish school, go down to the diamond, play against them in a match against each other until someone got in a fight, and then you'd have to run because it just got carnage. And, you know, using now yourselves, it was football, or, you know, the other stuff.
Yeah. I remember them games.
Yeah. Well, when we used to win all the time.
And I remember, do you not remember when Katrina was there the first time and she was like, do you know my son? And I was like, I think I do, I'm not sure. I remember after it then.
Yeah.
Because he used to call you Johnny English.
Yeah.
And I remembered after that. I never actually said it back to Katrina. I meant to say it to her. And I was like, I remember that. Mm. And I remember the trouble. Yeah, you were a little trouble riser. No, he wasn't.
He was quiet.
You were quiet.
And yeah, like in a
the
group.
The rest did protect you. I remember that. They looked after you.
The boys did.
Yeah,
because they knew. Now, what it was it kind of, when I first moved there, they used to all pick on me and try and fight me, but you had to fight your way through it. And I'm not saying that because I'm not like this big guy who's going to, you know, but I knew straight away and where I came from that, you know, they'll test you early on and the lads tried, you know, slagging my accent. And anytime anyone slagged, I used to just fight them because it's the only way that they'd, you know, kind of respect you a little bit. But then that went on for a while. And then my football kind of, you know, in town, if you know exactly what I'm talking about. If you're any good at football, everyone's like, oh, yeah, here he is, carrying his ball around. You know, I will look after you, But that is true. Anytime I went anywhere else, they'd be like, who's this little gobshite with, you know, his half Irish, half English accent. And the boys did look after me, you know. He's like, I don't know if he's Nolan and Kieran Ryan and a few other the boys.
Yeah.
They all looked after me. They didn't let anyone take the piss out of me. And used to make, you know, I think that was more so because we wanted to win the matches.
Yeah.
But they were just good lads. They genuinely were. They were nothing. They had no agenda. I had nothing to offer them but just being myself, you know, kick a ball around. And I loved every minute of it. If I can go back to that for a day, I definitely would. Like,
what was it about the good footballers in town that nobody touched?
I don't know.
Like, whoever was good at football, you'd say, leave him alone.
Yeah, you know, he's good.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's just because they want someone to come from that area and do well. Like, I just gave you that. If you're sure you're football, no one wants to hang around with you. Yeah. I don't know what it is. It's just all we had at the time. Like, we, nothing there. There's nothing else to do but go up to that park where there's gravel and two goals and just compete with each other. You know, it's just what it was like.
Yeah, what was school like for you then in your early days? Or even school in town in O'Connell's?
No, school in O'Connell's is like I don't even know how to phrase it. It was just the Wild West. Like, it was just, I don't know how the teachers taught our class when I think about it. Look, I have a little lad now, and he's looking after him, like, you know, can be hard work. It's the best thing ever. But there was 20 of us in a class, and not one of us had a home where it was like, you know, nice and relaxed or nice and chilled. And it was just carnage, like lads climbing that window. I was like, I remember, was it Dean Hickey or someone was left back in class and we were getting walked over, and I look over and he's climbing out the school window and we're all cheering. Like, it was just mayhem. But my ma always pushed me to try and do a bit of work and a bit of school stuff, which I'm glad I did now, the older I am. But the school days was just get to break, get the tennis ball out, and us against the older lads, you know, let's try and beat them. And we'd, during class, we'd be writing our tactics down on a little piece of paper, like, you know, we need to get rid of him, he's shy, or we need to, you know, get him from another class, he's decent. Like, we were poaching players at, you know, whatever age it was, 12, to come into our class and play, but no, it was deadly.
When did you start realising you were decent at balling?
To be honest, it was, my ma only brought me to football because our friend told her to. She was like, I need to do something with this lad. He's like he's just mad, like, he's just full of energy. And someone just said, bring him down to Belvo. And all I knew before that was just playing on the street, you know, which it was carnage, and just playing with my mates. And I didn't know there was a structure to it. I didn't know there was, you know, you
could positions,
actually, yeah, you could be part of a team, or you could, like, in town, you're never thinking, like, you just think you're going to, like, play on the street and go and play for Man United. Hopefully someone will see you, like the film Goal, like, you know, on the streets of, you know, Brazil or something. But I went down to Belvo and, you know, to be honest, I was putting the B team off the start. I was, their A team was full. It was like midway through a season, I think it was. And they're like, oh, he can play for the B team if he wants. And I was like, yeah, I don't really care. Like, I'm playing the B team. And then the B team folded, and Damien, the manager, said, we're going to keep a couple of players, you know, just John want to stay on, and he might not play in the first team, but he'd definitely get a few minutes here and there. Frank actually was, and Damon and Wayne Brew, Graham Brooks.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Is that Graham
Wayne,
Brooks team?
Yeah. And Wayne looked after me, and he's a great guy.
Yeah.
They asked me to stay on. I was like, yeah, of course I would. I love it down here. Fairview is where it's happening. Back in the day, Belva were the team. Like, you know, it was all the street kids and stuff. But no, it was loved every minute. Went, played for them, and naturally just kind of grew, started going, I'm actually okay at this. I wasn't great. And then I knew around 13 or 14 that you could get in the Ireland team playing for Belvo. And then I just started training every day. There wasn't a day where I wasn't kicking a ball against the wall. And just, that's all I did. I just focused on that. I didn't really drink or do any of the other stuff. I just wouldn't touch it. I was just like, no, like, I just want to, we love football, you know, and just stuck with it. Like, and then that was it, really.
That's what I wanted to ask you. Is that reason why you didn't, the hell you didn't? Because, like, you moved to an area and some hell that was rough, as we all know.
Yeah, no, to be fair to me, ma, again, she and Dave, my stepdad was in the picture here, and without him as well, he used to take me to the park and practice free kicks and corners, but don't know what help that did. I'm still shy at the both of them. Like, but he actually played football for, like, Cardiff and a couple other teams. He was at a decent level as well. And he kind of brought me with him to his games and gave me that focus. And then we moved up to Dorset Street, I think it was. Me and my mum moved by ourselves just out of town, a little bit further out.
Moved out of town? 200 meters up the road.
For me, town is town, and then there's, like, the other one out of the road. But
me,
like,
and your ma only had this conversation last week, and I completely disagree.
There's town, and then
I think Dorset Street is the heart of town, because it's right beside the Oilac.
Nobody would say that.
It's not called the Oilac, the heart of town, boys.
Oh, my new team, John.
Oh, no, we lived the other end of Dorset Street, so it wasn't...
Oh, see, you always lived right up the street, like, right up. What's the matter? The big tree, kind of.
Yeah, basically, the other end, so that's not...
Because the Dorset Flats is, like, right beside the Oilac, and to me, town...
A bit further up.
All right. I'll let you away.
I think so, anyway. And then they knew I was getting good at it. I was still hanging around. I was still going to O'Connell's, and I was actually getting good. And my mom was just like, we need to get him out of town. Like, he's just, I think one of the times someone knocked on the door, and I was hiding the car stereo for some of the older lads, you know, just stuff like that. I wasn't necessarily doing it, but, you know, if the lads ask you 20 quid, just hide that from me. It's 20 quid, like, and just hiding something. And it was just kind of either I'm going to go that way or that way. And then we moved to Raheny. They got a house, I think rented or whatever. I think she got a house, like she said that. I don't know what it's called, a HAP or whatever. She got a house in Ashcroft in Raheny, and then just changed, started hanging around with. We played for Raheny Ga team as well, because Gavin Ivey played for Belva with us at the time, and his dad used to pick me up and bring me to the Raheny team to play for their Ga team, because I was good at, I was half decent at Ga as well. And that's when my ma went to Raheny. I was playing the Ga, travelling in from town. He'd pick me up, drop me home, give me dinner to come and train and then play for them. So she was like, well, we need to be out there because, you know, good skills, there's good people around there that can help us. So then we got a house out there, and I finished my school in O'Connell's and went to Findon's, which is the complete opposite to what, like, you know, like you're going from O'Connell's to Findon's, where, you know, if you wear the wrong tie or shoes, you just get sent home, like, or you get suspended or detention. But another thing, it was a great thing for me because it coincided with the football, where you needed a bit of
discipline.
Yeah, exactly. And I wasn't getting that, you know. My ma was trying her best, but my ma was so young when she had me. She was only, you know, 16 or even younger. We were kind of like brother and sisters then at that age, because she's not that much older than you, and she was, you know, giving out to me. I was like, oh, shut up, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. And then the school kind of, you couldn't get away with it. I couldn't get away with it in football. I couldn't get away with it in school now. And then me ma started getting her stuff together a bit more as well, and I couldn't get away with it anywhere. And she brought me away at the one place where it was still happening. So it all kind of added up together at the same time. And obviously went to Fintons. I think I got suspended in 1 year 11 times just for someone saying something. I remember I was fighting outside school, you know, that attitude in town where someone says something to you, and it just wasn't right. Like, you just think that, but it's just a waste of, you know, time and energy and effort. And then by the third year, I had been gone on trials with Blackburn, Aston Villa, Notts Forest. And I knew if I didn't get good grades on my junior, I wouldn't be able to go, I think, or something along those lines. I was, you know, and I kind of focused a bit more, and just how everything fell for me in life. It's mad, because one of those things didn't happen. Same with my man, her story, that, you know, a lot of things don't happen, and I'm very lucky to have the likes of, like, you know, other people's parents and to help me out in those stages. And I had a good group of friends in Raheny, and I loved it there just as much, because for how good town was, for the fun and the excitement, actually the calm and the, you know, going to your barcodes and your, like, you know, spins with different people, and, you know, it was just a different vibe completely that I never knew in life, and it kind of just helped me merge into the person I am today, you know. So moving to Raheny helped a lot, definitely, in my life.
This is an advertisement for BetterHelp Therapy Online. There are so many things that kids are curious about, and they just have no fear diving in to learn something new.
Yeah, like how to do a wheelie.
Yeah. And then as we grow older, we don't take the time out to learn new things. But curiosity doesn't have to be lost to childhood. Thankfully, therapy can help you reconnect with your inner child and get you excited to learn and grow again.
Now, I might not be able to teach you how to do a wheelie, but it helps give you the skills to get back on the bike no matter how many times you've fallen off.
If you're thinking about starting therapy, then why not give BetterHelp a try?
All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge.
And it's entirely online, making it convenient, flexible and suitable no matter your schedule.
With over 5,000 therapists available, BetterHelp can provide access to mental health professionals with a wide variety of expertise.
Rediscover your curiosity with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/bollocks to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, BetterHelp.com/BOLLOX. You mentioned trials for Aston Villa, Blackburn and couple of other teams. What's it like when you're going over on trials for them then?
Oh,
you realise how big it is when you're that young.
Nah, you get there. Like, I remember Nottingham Forest was, could have been the first on our Villa, and you just go over there and you're just used to going to Fairview and you're carrying the goals out on the cones, and you get there and it's like, you know, what the hell is this? Like, you know, and you're just, it's my going on a trial because you're just there to be judged. So like, it is hard. You have to be thick skinned to do it. You know, you're just, at the end of the week, you kind of go, no, you're not for us, or you're not this. And then to go home, play for your club, and then to go back again, it can be quite, you know, daunting, or it can be hard, but I loved it. I loved every minute of it. I remember when I went to Blackburn first, I hated it. That was the least club I liked out of all of them, because they just left me in a room by myself and no one really told me what the schedule was, or they didn't. I think they kind of just forgot about me at the time. They had loads going on. There was loads of players there and they forgot about me. And I was kind of just left. It's the only club I've ever felt left just alone. Like, I'm just in a different country here. And I think I was 14 at the time or whatever, or 15, I can't remember. And I was just left in a room. I didn't know what time training was. I didn't know what time Martin was. And I was like, oh no, this is not for me here. I'd done the training and they liked me a lot because I trained really well. But I was like, no, I'm not coming back here. That's me done.
And were they the only offer you had?
No, I still was going on trials at this stage, but I just went to, I don't want to go back to Blackburn. I go back to, you know, Forest, Villa, or go back to Belvo, keep going, because they just kept coming to more games, the scouts. But then I went on holiday with one of my mates to Santa Ponza, and we were down the bar drinking J2Os. Obviously, he wasn't drinking yet at this stage. And there was a lad, Connor, his name was, who played for Blackburn. He was away with his mates. He was like 18, 19. And me and Liam O'Dwyer just used to play football with the little Spanish kids every day. And we wrote these lads to come down and play a game with us against them, because they were just running rings around us, you know. And they came down and got speaking to him. And I told them, oh, I've been on trial here, but I hated Blackburn. He was like, oh, I play for Blackburn. Come back over, like, and, you know, see what you think. I'll show you around this time. So then obviously I went back that time and he was showing me around, and you know, it helped a lot. Like, and I ended up being, you know, the my favourite club that I went to. And within, like, I think it was 5 or 6 months, I ended up signing, you know, three years contract with them to sign there. But that's what I'm talking about. Like, for that to happen, you know, the domino effect of the luck. Yeah. Like, how lucky is
the
that?
Chances of that.
Like, in some random bar in Santa Ponza, and they ask these older 18-year-olds to come and play a match with us, like, 9 times out of 10, they say yeah, but they never actually play. But they actually did show up and we got talking. So that's how I went back and ended up signing there. It's mental, like.
That's fucking madness, that is.
I know.
And then how long did you stay at Blackburn for then?
I was there for till 15, till 23, so 8 years.
It's a long stint.
8 years, yeah. My last year in school, I used to go to school Monday to Wednesday, train with Belv on the Tuesday, and then fly to Blackburn on the Wednesday night to play for their youth team on the Saturday, and come back then and play for Belvo then on the Sunday. I did that for like 6 or 8 weeks, because to be fair to the coach there, Gary Bowyer, and who's one of the best managers I've ever had, as you know, he was my coach the whole way through at Blackburn, and without him I wouldn't be the player, because he was on me from day one. He used to fly over, play, come back, and just, you know, that was tough. That was the toughest time. But he told me that I was a player that needed the coaching from 15. He said, you've got all the raw ability, you know, but you need the coaching. You know, you need, I'm not just saying this because I want you here to play the games. I just think you'll get a benefit from the extra, you know, 6 to 10 weeks before you get here. And in hindsight, it's one of the best decisions we made, you know.
So 8 years at Blackburn. What's your best memories from Blackburn?
The youth team was, we had, you know, similar to probably my whole career. Like, no one gave us a chance really at Blackburn as the youth team, but we ended up winning our youth league against Liverpool, and we got to the FAU Cup final against Chelsea and got beat. We won one of the legs, but then Chelsea at the time were paying their youth team $5,000-$6,000 a week. Yeah. Like, you know.
What a
That's the youth team in like the early 2010s. Not early 2010s, sorry. The just before the 2010s. Mm. So like 07, 08, 09, 10.
Mad money.
They were on blading mental money. Yeah. That's honestly, when Abramovich come in and they'll start signing like, right, who's the best player in every country at 16, 17, 18, 19.
Bought them all.
You're playing by Chelsea. And how are you going to get them over there? You're going to be like, well, me, I'm from Bleeding Cork. Right, we're going to move your whole family over and you're getting fucking six.
That's exactly what it was. He's that's what they don't even need to say. He knows. Like that's
Conor Clifford played for that Chelsea team, didn't he?
He was a year older, but the year before they won it as well. Yeah. I think Chelsea went on a stint to just win the U Cup, like say for like 4 or 5 years. Like
they were unreal. And they used to get far in the U Champions League.
Champions League,
and then all like if you ever looked back from that team, like the players that came from it, you never realised, you know, some of them went on to win the Champions League, like, oh, he was at Chelsea when he was fucking 16. Literally. Load of shit like that,
I know. It was tough. They beat us 3-0 in the first leg and then we beat them 1-0 in the second leg, but they were just too good. Like, but like that was probably one of the best times. And then obviously making your debut, like, was just, I think it was Birmingham away. Gary Bowyer again said, you know, your family are from around this area. I'm going to start you on so you can tell them all to come over and gave me a bit of a heads up. Like, so walking out in the championship, honestly, you can't explain it. You know, it's just, I always just wanted, I didn't play many games at Blackburn, but I just always wanted to, I gave so much time and effort there. I went on loan loads of time where I just wanted, you know, one or two games just to say, because they always have pictures on their walls at Blackburn of all the academy graduates who were there from like 16, 17, 18, 19, and like David Dunn and a couple other boys that are, you know, one of my mates, Adam Henley's on it. I just wanted so bad just to be, because once you're on that wall, like I'll just be there forever now.
Part of history, yeah.
Yeah, so like anytime, say my little lad or he go back and show him like the thing, I'll just always be there. And I just wanted that so bad. So when that happened, it was just like a relief. I didn't really enjoy the game. Didn't really play, you know, particularly well in the game. I just was so relieved that I just, you know, had done it, played for Blackburn. Like I played for Barnsley and Aki and Carlisle and I don't know, on loan before that and I had been doing well. I just always had, I don't want to have to, you know, leave Blackburn without playing. So that was, for me, it's probably the best moment.
What age were you when you made your debut?
I think I was 19 or 20.
But did you play many?
I think I played for Blackburn 5 or 6 games, like championship and cup games. But I had been on loan at Barnsley in League One and Accrington in League Two. And what happened was I went to League Two conference on loan, done well, went to Accrington in League Two, done well, went to Barnsley in League One, done well. And Barnsley tried buying me from Blackburn. So then Blackburn took me back off loan because they weren't doing too good at the time. And then that's when obviously made me debut. And then Barnsley were trying to buy me in that off season, but Blackburn wouldn't let me go. So I ended up staying for another two years, probably when I shouldn't have. I probably should have moved on. Because when you're seen as a young lad at a club since you're 15, you kind of can't shake that tag, you know.
Yeah.
I was 21 now and they were still like, ah, you know,
he's a youth player.
Yeah. And that was probably 2 years. 18 months too long at Blackburn because I was just on the bench every week for the first team and I wasn't really playing and I was, you know, they wouldn't let me go or they wouldn't sell me because they didn't want me to go elsewhere and do well. So it was like I was stuck. Now, don't get me wrong, I was, you know, good contract. I was settled there, you know, I knew everyone and like I was living there. I was living with Daryl Lenihan at the time, which was unbelievable. And then, you know, Shawnee Maguire had been on loan with me at Accrington. And like had a good group of Irish friends. We'd go out on the weekend. But from a football standpoint, I probably should have left earlier than I did.
That's probably why you ended up staying though for the 18 months too long, as you'd say. You have the boys there.
Partying again.
Yeah.
100%. It's hard to leave. You know, it was like home for me for 8 years. You know, it's the most settled I've probably ever been in my life, to be honest with you. You know, growing up, I think I lived in 7 or 8 different homes by the time I was 10 or 11. And then, you know, I moved to Blackburn and I was just content. I was happy. I was with my partner, Sarah, at the time. And, you know, she moved over then eventually and I was just happy. And I kind of let that get the better of me a little bit of I was too comfortable.
Yeah.
And then I probably, you know, listen, hindsight, isn't it? But it's, I had a great time there. Like, you know, it was a great 8 years. You know,
a lot of luck in there, though. The amount of stories that we've heard from having footballers on the podcast about, like, they'd sign for a manager. A manager had lured them into a team. They'd be like, right, this is great. And the manager sacked within a month. Now you're stuck in limbo. A manager comes in who doesn't fancy you. You're kind of left out of the squad. You left there. And there's all this kind of politics, if that's what you'd call it, involved with in trying to get game time over there. So it's a struggle for Irish lads a lot of the time.
No, it's hard. It is. It's always, like, I remember John Coleman, he was the Aki manager, and I think he was the longest serving manager in England. He genuinely said to me, football's 80% luck. He said, all you kids playing on the street, all you kids playing anywhere, you're all as good as anyone. The only difference is, you know, luck and your mindset. You know, a lot of it is that. But in the League One, League Two, like, Premier League is a different ball game. You know, they're on a different planet. But in the dog leagues of, you know, League One, League Two, you know, you're just scrapping with each other. The same players signing for different clubs because their man just saying, I'll get a tune out of him or a tune out of, you know, or the same manager signing you back. That happens all the time, you know. So it is. The hardest thing about being an Irish lad over there is your mindset. And I just didn't want to give up. Like, I wanted to go back home with a big, you know, something, you know,
accomplishment happened. Kind of.
Something.
To justify it,
Yeah, now listen, I could have came back, I would have played 200 or league games or 180 or whatever it was and scored, playing the FA Cup, but I just wasn't content yet. I was just a bit, you know, it's, come on, there's fucking more left there. Come on, just give it more. Sarah was getting a bit more content. She was best friends with Sean or Daryl Enahan's, you know, they were living local, they were living in Manchester. Sam and Ruby, who are friends of ours, were all, and we had a good little, and I was like, okay, we'll stay, you know. I see what offers come in the off season, and I'm just making a decision purely based on football. You know, money, all that, I actually just don't give a shite. I'm just going to make it on where I'm going to play. That's it, because I can't live over here anymore and just not play. You know, and I backed myself to play anywhere. It wasn't that I didn't back myself. It was more a manager that I believed would, you know, not just sign me to be a squad, but actually invest a bit of, you know, energy and time to get me and play me. So I had spoke to a different couple of teams at this stage and none of them were the right fit. And Jim Bentley was the Morecambe manager, rang me. And now, I don't know how to explain Morecambe. Morecambe were probably... It's a great club, great stadium, great little training ground, great people. But Morecambe would have been probably League Two favourites to go down every season. And somehow Jim Bentley kept them up. And then be like, how is he keeping them up? How are they keeping up? And then he rang me and said, this is the only season I have a budget. Like, I want you. I'll do anything to get you. I'll give you, come and look at my budget. This is honestly everything I have. Like, to come and to get you to come and play for me, you know. And I spoke to a couple of the lads, and he's known as probably the every player that he plays for loves him. Everyone loves him to bits as a person, as a manager. He gives everything he has. And someone to ring me and actually show me that, you know, I knew what the other boys were on. I told them, this is all I need, Jim, to come and play for you. You know, I had a house, you know, we had our own house and a mortgage at the time. This is all we need. You know, I don't have any kids. I have no overheads. This is what we need to, you know, to come there. And he made it happen. And I knew where I was budget-wise compared to some of the other boys. So then I knew, right, he's under pressure here to bring me here and play. So I signed there, pre-season, buzzing to sign. And then played the first few games. We're doing all right in between. And then I don't know if it's me now that I think about it. He left as well. Or he got sacked or whatever it was. He done poorly the year before and they invested in him loads the year after because of how much he gave the club. And to be fair to him, some of the boys he signed were like, they signed and they chucked it a little bit, to be fair. And it didn't look great on him. Now, a few of us that were there didn't. Well, a few of them threw him under the bus a little bit. You know, some of the boys he had in the past that he didn't want, but they were embedded in the club. Now, he's the only manager, and there's a few of them that I'd say didn't deserve that. But he got offered to go to Foyld at the time. So, no, he didn't get sacked. He got offered to go to Foyld. Someone that tried to buy Blackpool bought Foyld, and they had mad money. And he was falling out with Markham because he was getting a bit of backlash as well. And he just jumped ship again and went to Foyle because they weighed him in. And now, to be fair, he is a family kid. I understood it. He pulled me and said it as well. And I was like, ah, no, listen, I get it. So I'm just gone here. I've signed 2 years here instead of, because I'm saying, right, we're going to build this ship together. And then Derek Adams came in and he just wasn't having me. Like, I just knew, you know, when someone comes in and he's, you know, like, I have a certain manager that I like as in probably like the gaffer at Chelsea, and, you know, out there, you can bounce off, you know, I could ring him now, like in Lisbon or something, and have a bit of laugh with him. I've always kind of had that manager. I never really had this kind of manager before, you know, like he just didn't say a word. He just come in, hello, walk past you. And I thought it was just me. I'm getting paranoid here going now, oh, geez, here we go. Like, you know what I mean? This is me done here. And I think in his mind, he probably was thinking that. And then COVID kind of, was it COVID? No, something happened. I wasn't there mentally and something came up and I just needed to go home for 2 weeks. And I asked him, listen, I have this, I need to go home for 2 weeks. I need to just get my head right here. I just need to assess the situation of what I want to do. It was coming to January. And me and my partner want to go home for a few weeks, you know, can I just go and do it? And it wasn't ideal because he probably could have done with me in the squad. But I was like, I can't give you half of me here at the minute with where I am with my headspace. Can I just go home for a couple of weeks? And he looked at me in the eye and said, yeah, take as long as you need. Now, take that two ways. You could have thought, get rid of him for a while, yeah, buzzing, or
he's looking after you.
Looking after me.
Yeah.
I remember he said, if you ever need anything, you know, ring me. And the first time we had an interaction. So I went home, didn't message me once. No, he messaged me once saying everything okay. I went, yeah, thanks. You know, hopefully we'll be back in a week or two. And he was like, no, take as long as you need. Just, you know, reset. And I remember just having that respect for him going, right, I can, you know, get on board with this guy a little bit. He's not what I think. He gave me a bit of time to go home. I hadn't been home in ages here because I went to Scotland and their league was, you know, a bit longer and whatever was going on. I can't remember exactly, but went home and then I went back and I had a new lease of life. I was training well, flying around. He started me. I hadn't trained in 3 weeks, I think it was, I took, or 2 weeks. Came back, trained. He started me those two games back to back and we won the both of them. And then he took me out because I hadn't played and he put me back in. And then COVID happened. So just shut down. Everyone knows what COVID, not going to get into that. Went home again for another while and then went back to England, just stayed in England with Sarah the whole time. You know, we couldn't get home. It was just, oh, to be honest, and COVID, horrible things that happened and stuff, but the time just away from football again just gave me another reset. Loved it every minute. Spoke to Sarah, was like, next year is going to be, you know, my last year in England. Yeah, I'm done with it. And just, we'll go one more year and we'll go home. I'm at a good age. We'll get a good club. Just going to give it everything I have and go at it. Came in pre-season. Hardest pre-season of my life. Like, I've never discussed and track running every day. And now we were 250-1. I know Shells were 20-1. I think we were 250-1 to get promoted. Didn't even come into my head, to be honest. I just was there to play and to enjoy myself. And then season was going on and we were sitting, I think, second, third, fourth, you know, top three go up and then playoffs is fourth. And I was like, we have a chance here, lads, you know, start smelling ourselves. And it got to Christmas and we were still in the mix and we're like, like, we could do this. Then all of a sudden, it was the last game of the season. We're playing Bolton. And I'm playing every week here, playing every game. I had got injured then 3 weeks before this, or 3 months, or 2 months, whatever it was. I lose track of what I'm showing on about here. Done me hammy bad. I played all season. Done me hammy. I was out for 8 weeks. Sorry, it was. And I was like, well, I'm going to miss the rest of the season here. So, you know, it's done. Season's over. I missed out an important part there. I was injured. And then the season was over. I was happy with the season I had, to be honest with you. You know, we had a chance. Last game of the season playing Bolton and we had a chance to either go up or in the playoffs. Now, I had told the physio, whatever happens here, I went to gym every single day. I done extra every day because I'm like, if somehow we end up in the playoffs, I'm playing in the playoffs. There's nothing, me being stupid again. And he's like, your hammy, like, it's too soon. Like, it's not like a bruise, man. You can't play with a hammy. I was like, Derek Adams' office was there and the gym was there, and I went in the gym. He'd tell you himself every day. We'd go training and I'd be in the gym every day, just every day going playoffs, playoffs, playoffs. Because I knew Bolton ahead of us. I just had a feeling that they'd beat us. So then last game of the season, they had won. We ended up in the playoffs. And like, we're playing the playoffs. Like, no, you can't play. Told the manager I can play. He's like, listen, it's too early for the game before the playoffs and the two legs. But if you get to the final, maybe. So I'm just like a bull here, just trying to get to the... We win the two games. We get to Wembley. The day before the game, he's like, I don't know what to do with you. I don't know. Like, you, I know you trained yesterday, but we only did shape. We didn't fuck all, like, basically. And I looked at him, I was like, you just have to put me on the bench. Like, just please, please, please. None of my family were there. No one was even at Wembley at the time because I was just injured. I didn't tell them what I was doing or there was a chance. Didn't sleep all night. And he knocked on my door. I think it was 7 or 8 o'clock in the morning. He goes, well, I'll put you on the bench tomorrow. If we need you for 5-10 minutes, happy days. Game's going on. I'm just running up and down the touchline. It's Wembley, like, fucking from Belvoir to Wembley. Mm. I'm just running up and down the touchline. And in my mind, I'm like, make something happen here. Make something happen here. Didn't get on in the 90 minutes, extra time. He looks at me and goes, fuck it. Just go on. See what you can do. So now if you've watched the game back, I come on. First thing I do is sprint like a lunatic. I'm like, oh no, it's a bit tight that, you know. But I can't let anyone know this because we had no subs left and I made him use me as the last one, I think. So I'm just like, no, just make something happen. Win us the game, just anything. And then in the second half, extra time, I don't know if you've seen it, but I get tackled just that it was in the box, but everyone says it was just outside the box. And I just
fall into the box.
Forward. Like, I got tackled, but I think it's long jump Olympics, bang, splat, or whatever. Just thing. And I had been given the ref some 5 minutes before and he just gives a pen. And I'm like, oh, fucking, I knew it. I just knew in my head, like, I could just do something, like.
Yeah.
And then we obviously went on to win the game, but that was the best year of my entire life. Literally, it was this, it's just, you know, the relief on myself. And like I said to you, I just wanted something. I wanted, like, a medal or, you know, just something. Like, I got a frame, like, an hour later, like, the game wasn't even over, but... I just wanted that one thing to have. And like I said, Derek Adams, the Morecambe boys, and just that mindset of, you know, just not giving up and just keep going, like, was just probably the best thing I've ever done in my whole life, to be honest with you. And just thinking that, try and make something happen here, you know.
From then, you were ready to come home?
Yeah, I thought that. But then when you feel good about yourself and you're giving it the old, you know, thing. I had a good few offers and a few options, and I had played for Accrington, I think, 3 times before this, and they were in League One doing well. And Morecambe offered me to stay, but Derek Adams went to Bradford at the time because everyone that done well there, kind of, Morecambe couldn't really, you know.
Couldn't hold on to them, yeah.
Yeah, so we all kind of, and when I seen he went, I was like, I'm leaving. I'm not staying. Like, you know, I just didn't want to
start off with a new manager again.
No, and I knew the Accrington manager and they were the league above and they were 2 years ahead of where Morecambe were. And they put together a squad to probably push that season. And like that season, the next season wasn't really on. I played, I think, 20, 30 games in League One, scored a couple of goals. Nothing really happened. You know, just Sarah was pregnant at the time, obviously, with the little man. It was just kind of getting that ready. I had signed 3 years, that 3 year deal contract. So it was the first time just being a bit more, right, okay. You know, I was going to go back to Morecambe, but Derek left. They only offered me 2 years. Accrington rang me and said, I'll give you 3 years. I know you. I love you. Your mindset. So with the little man on the way, I couldn't say no to 3 years, you know. So signed that, little man happened. Like, you know, just pregnant. And then I ended up leaving England at the end of that season. I walked away from my contract because I was done with England at that time, even though I had 2 years left.
And was that becoming a father and wanting to be closer to home for the families? Or?
He was in, just getting emotional saying it now, but he was in the NICU for like a week or whatever it was, but they both got like a bad infection. It was a normal birth, but like a few complications, nothing, you know, to that level of, you know, what people go through, but they were both sick, you know, and it was just so traumatic, like seeing their partner, like she was like white, like a ghost for, I think, 3 months because she lost so much blood and she got an infection. And I hope she doesn't mind me saying that. If so, I'll ask her and then we'll see. But he was sick. And I remember just the season was going on, I rang the manager, I was like, I won't see me till he's over here. Like, you know, and he, same again, I knew him. I got to stay in the hospital with them, for they got us our own room. And I think, I don't know how long we were there for in the end. He was in the NICU for, I think it was 6 to 7 days, but then he had to stay in. He got out of the NICU, which was probably the best day of both of our lives, when, I don't know if you have any fathers out there, to see your kid like sick and, you know, had to do like all tests on him and all that stuff. And we got our own room and we had our own little cubby for a week or two, because the two of them couldn't leave because they had to be checked. He wasn't 100%. And then when he got out, just that worry, you know, we had no, Sarah's family's great, you know, and she has all these sisters and all these nieces and Amanda and such a close-knit family. And, you know, when that happened, they'd fly over, but then they'd leave, and, you know, it was hard because you're like...
It made you realise how far from home you were.
Yeah, and we were just worried about him the whole time. And, like, I went back to football then, because my head, I just thought I need to just go and run around. And it's your job as well. You know, it's the team needed me to be there as well. And she understood. She, to be fair, I think I was doing her head in, because she just go back to football. Like, it's going to be 2 hours. We're not going anywhere. But I just took it a bit harshly, you know, because when you see them, you think you're going to lose two people. Where, yeah. You know, just shook me a little bit. And I kind of, after the year I had and the fitness that I built up, and, you know, I kind of just sacked it off a little bit, which is not great to say, you know, as in, you know, when you go in gym after training, I just wouldn't go in. I'd just be like, oh, I'm going home.
So from all this made you realise, like, there's bigger things in life than football.
Yeah. It wasn't about me anymore. It's like Sarah sacrificed enough living in England. For my career, it wasn't really about me. I was fit, you know, I was still, I think I was 28. I knew a club would want me in Ireland and pay me a good, you know, contract, because, you know, where I was. And I thought that would just fix all, you know, just go home, it'll fix it all. Which, you know, I think Sarah says it now, saying you probably left England too early. You know, you moved home and it was obviously signed for Bowes, and it was just a bit of a whirlwind. There was a bit of a panic. It was a bit of, you know, ran away from, you know, being away, and, you know, because of probably what happened. But to be honest, I just didn't really care. I just wanted the little man to be at home and with family, with friends, Sarah as well, because what happened to them was quite traumatic. And I wanted to move home as well. I knew when he was born that we'd eventually want to get a house and we'd want to, you know, set up camp here, schools, blah, blah, blah. And I've never had to think about that anymore. But now it wasn't about me. I didn't actually give a shit about myself or anyone else. It was just the two of them. So we moved home, and, you know, it was tough to move home. It was, you know, finding a place to live. You know, I've been away from, like, some of my ma and everyone for 15 years. Like, you know, my ma still talks to me like I'm a 12-year-old living at home, you know. But it was tough, but it was great, you know. We were home, we were around people, and it was just comfort, you know. More so for them than myself, you know. I'd play football anywhere. Money never really was my driving point, to be honest with you. It never was, never will be. You know, as long as I have enough to support and what I'm worth, or, you know, that'll do me. Like, I just love playing football. So we moved home and I signed for Bowes then, and we, you know.
Did you jump too quick into Bowes? Did you, just to get home?
No, to be honest, on paper at the time, Bowes were, in my opinion, the next one's challenging. You know, they had finished, I met Keith, great fella, great manager. You know, I think Bowes got rid of him probably sooner than they should have, in my own opinion, but he's great guy. He sold it to me. I explained to him my situation, why I'm coming home, and I had 2 years left in England, and, you know, what I was getting paid wasn't going to be as much as I was going to get in Ireland. I explained that to him, that this is what I'm on, you know, it's closer we can get to this, you know, whatever you can do for me. And to be fair to them, he pushed the boat out for me, and I was happy to sign there. I did think their staff, you know, they had, you know, couple of good people there. They had some top players, and they were signing top players at the time. So for me, they were the next ones to go to that point. But, you know,
what went wrong, John? Because I don't mean to sound disrespectful, yeah, by the way, but I mean, it wasn't...
it was a shit show. Like, come on, there's no two ways about it.
It wasn't the best chapter of you.
No, but like I said, just 2 minutes before that, I had different stuff going on that I was just kind of, you know, I signed halfway through the season you know, I didn't know, you know, the pressure I think longer Keith was under. I didn't read into that as much. I probably didn't do enough homework into what was going on. And like, you know, when I signed there, I thought I'd have a bit of time, you know, for pre-season to settle, but it wasn't. It was, you know, Dawson was moving away and it was, like, fucking hell, you know, he's had a good summer there, which I did. I had a great summer, you know. I went away, me and Sarah, we brought him away with us and we enjoyed ourselves. But I've done that my whole career and I was able to, you know, have my pre-season to get fit, you know. And there's no excuses with it, you know. It was a fucking shit show, but I didn't have that time to get fit. It was, we need you now. Like, you're in the team, whatever. Got in the team, I think it was drawed away. I think it was one of my first or second or third games and my hip just blew out. Fucked. Like, it was, I think Paul, the physio there, said it was probably one of the rarest injuries he sees in football. You know, I had like a fracture in my, you know, your hip ball bone fracturing there, but the team was under pressure again and I was just like, oh, wait, can I just deal with it in the off season? He was like, probably not, like, and I was like, I just won't train. I'll just, you know, dip in and out and play through it. You know, I did come back not as fit as I should have, but not having the time to get fit played a part. You know, I'm naive in that too. I didn't take into account that the season was still going, you know, in Ireland. You know, in England, it was your off season, party, be your family, drink, you know, eat, enjoy yourself, run a couple of weeks at home and then go into a team. But because me and Sarah had been home in the off season, I just thought I'd go back to England. But then at the end of the summer, our minds were made up. So then I was just signing for someone now, you know. I didn't have the time to think in my head, I'll use these few weeks to get, you know, fit as I should be. And then I went in, was doing work with the fitness coach and stuff. And then, no, it's out there to see. Like, I tried to hint that there was stuff going on or there was this or there was that. But, no, I was injured the off-season again. My recovery was, I was on crutches for 8 weeks. You know, I couldn't do any. So I had a whole year there, basically, of from June to the start of next season of just being a couch potato, basically. Because, you know, I probably should have done more gym work or whatever, but like, without your running and without your cardio to go back into pre-season was tough. And then obviously Keith obviously got sacked during that. They got a new manager in, and to be fair to Decky, when he got the job, he did say to me, I spoke to people in England and they all said the same thing, you know, if you get John going, you get a good tune out of him. He's a great lad and he's a top player, you know. But tried to get fit there, but I just think the ship was sailed at that point. You know, people say that, but, you know, I didn't get as fit as I probably could have been. But, you know, he still trusted me enough to bring me on in the cup final the last game of the season. You know, I still, every Saturday morning when I hadn't played in the Friday, I drove the training and drove the ship behind the scenes. That's always been a characteristic of mine. I think if you ask, except Lukey or any of the boys at Chels, that's just who I've been my whole life. But I knew my time was done there. You know, the fans just, I don't know if it's because, you know, the contract they gave me, or they say I'm fat, or they say whatever they want to say. You know, they can say whatever they want. You know, not all the fans are that way, but a lot of them make a lot of things personal, and, you know, it's too far at times. But listen, you're entitled to your opinion, and I just think there's certain people at that club that shouldn't. You know, it's great potential, but there's a lot of I don't know how to say it without being thing. Well, you know, there's just a lot of poison behind it, you know, from, you know, there's certain fans and there's certain things. Sure, I was at a Ireland game during the week with my dad and then, like, both fans are shouting stuff at me from across, having my son on my shoulders, like. So, you know, the stuff like that where it's okay, I'm in Daily Mount, you want to came, you want to do this, but a lot of stuff that just went personal, which, you know, they all, and now I've done my own, you know, jib back where it's football banter, you know, we won the league, you didn't, ha ha ha. But there was a lot of people within that club who, you know, assassinated me a little bit and made me the scapegoat for how things went wrong. You know, I still get it a lot now, but listen, the past is the past. I don't really give a shit about them anymore. They can send the negativity. I'll go out with the Shells and with a club like Lukey and the gaffer and his staff where they're built on positivity and success. So,
seen a good tweet there last week, but it was from when you signed for Shells, and I was a Bowls fan. So obviously the League of Ireland's playing great. Like, the fans, Yeah, you ask a fan to find that and they'll find it. They pulled up a tweet that a Bowles fan put out when you signed, and it was like, enjoy that, like, that fat cunt. Yeah. He's used that problem now. And then like someone retweeted it and he's like, and his A-League went on now as well.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I was like, they hold the receipts.
Oh no, exactly. 100%. Like, and I don't know why they had this picture of me. Like, they didn't know what I was like behind the scenes. Like, you know, the players there, great group of lads. Honestly, I couldn't say a bad word about most of the squad. Like, some of them are still my friends now, like, that I chat to. And like, a lot of them text me when, you know, we won the league to say, like, you know, I'm happy for you. You know, you went through shit here. Fair play to you. A lot of people would have just, you know, ran away, or I had another year left at Bowes where, you know, it was on a decent contract. I could have just stayed, sat it out and got paid. But like, that's not my makeup. What you wanna, the more they slag me, the more I'll do better. Like, you know, so that's always been my mindset. So if they wanna keep calling me whatever or shout me when I'm with my son, then it'll just give me more joy for next season. And if that's the kind of fan you are, then you're not a proper fan, you're just a pig, in my opinion.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So you signed by Shelts. How does that come about?
I don't know, a bit about, like, I think, I know Lukey. Then I just got chatting to Lukey a little bit, and not even about football. I think everyone just thought because I was at Bowes the year after, and you know, I'd probably just stay and see out my contract and whatever. And I got chatting to him, and Decky Devine had pulled me in and said, you know, we don't want you. You can go. Another scapegoat because how his season went. But, you know, we don't want you. You can go if you find something else. And I was just like, yeah, fine. That's no problem. If you don't want me here, I'll sort something out. Lukey had been asked. I don't know how it happened. He asked me about something and I was chatting to him saying, ah, no, but, and he was like, oh, We'd love you, basically. Along those lines, you know, have the messages there. Just, you know, honestly, John, like, the player, you know, the manager rates you, he thinks this of you, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I wouldn't think anyone would have because, you know, the year that I had and the 18 months. So I was buzzing. I was like, I think I was in holidays with the little man. It's like, God, Damien Duff's going to ring me, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then the gaffer's WhatsApp picture's mad. I'm not going to say what it is, right? But it's not him. It's just a random footballer. So I'm looking at this going, is Lukey pointing to me? Or he's just give this to someone to ring me and get me to tell him my contract and like pretend to sign me. So I'm like, oh no, it can't be. And then he's sending me like mad messages then, you know, the gaffer like back and forth. I'm saying, oh, this is my situation with blah, blah, blah. And he was like, fuck that dope or whatever. I'll tell him to go and do this or all this. And I'm like, I'm loving it, but at the same time we're like,
yeah, not
I
sure.
don't know him, like, and then I'm ringing Lukey going, is this the manager, like, and I'm texting Tariq going, Tariq, is this the manager's WhatsApp picture, is this him, like, is it definitely him? He's like, yeah, it's 100% him, he's like, he's rang me about you. So then he rings me on holidays and I'm like a schoolgirl answering the phone, like, I'm like to me missus, you take the little man to pool there, and I'm going, oh, it's Damien Duff's ringing me here, like, you know, I'm telling me that, like, and he's like, Damien Duff's ringing me. I was like, yeah. Trying to act cool to him, but I'm secretly buzzing, like, sat in my room in my hotel just waiting for the phone to ring, like, you know. And then he rings me and he's just, how he is on the thing, he's just brutally honest. He's just like, why? I can't understand it. Like, you know, are you a bad egg? You know, is there this? I'm going to do this. I'm going to, you know, ask people. I'm going to, you know, I can't remember the exact conversation because it was a bit of a whirlwind, you know. I had to get out of my... I had to come up with an agreement with Bowes to walk away, and it was kind of messy and kind of ruined but made the holiday a little bit. But I was just excited to get out of there. I was like, I knew Lukey, and I knew Lukey wouldn't stand me wrong. He's a top bloke, Luke, you know, and I trust him with my life. So, and then I spoke to the man, he was like, no, I'd look into it, you know, and he just said, I want you, like, you know, I'll press you. It's not just going to be easy, you know. I can't understand how they're not getting anything out of you. I think he thought I was a bad egg, you know, that's the reason why. But then I think he rang me one of the days and just was like, it's annoying me because I haven't had a bad reference yet of you from people, which is a compliment to me, but he's like, it's annoying me because he wanted to find, you know, something just to have. And then it just snowballed from there. And Lukey had been going back and forth and the gaffer with how much they can offer. And I just wanted to get out of where I was, you know, I wanted to leave and I didn't want to move home. And it to just be like, I have a kid now. And it's the first time my family can watch me. You know, I've been living away my whole career, my friends, family, to come home was exciting. Like, I could show everyone what I can do, and it was just a shit show. And now it's like, right, okay, I'm going here. And then from minute one, he was just on me, like, you know, pre-season, where my fitness wasn't as good as the other boys, because they're like, they were machines. They had been with him, like, you know, and he's just like, no, till that's there, you won't be doing this, you won't be doing that. And, like, you know.
Is it true he brought you on an army boot camp for pre-season?
No, I think he bought them on boot camp last year, but we done our own one in Portmartis. Like, I think if anyone was walking their dogs, we were just crawling along the beach, like, you know. They were the best days, though, you know, togetherness and all. Like, he did do that, to be fair to him. He's a great guy, man. He's unbelievable, but he's a bit mad. But like he said to me, aren't we all a bit mad? As he said, like, you know, you've had your own stuff, he's had his, but, you know, I think he enjoys the mad ones a little bit because he knows that there's some, you know, ability within us.
Yeah. And is it true that you read your man's book to get a better understanding of you?
Yeah, he told me that, to be fair. He said that I don't think he could get a read on me early doors of my, you know, I can be quite loud, or I can be a quite, you know, forceful. I could answer back a lot, you know, like, so. And he told me I read your man's book, to be fair to him. He read me man's book and he said, I don't know if he's read it all now. He said it was a bit much, you know, a bit much to read. But yeah, I think he's read it. I think Davey Mack, he's a coach there, has read it. I think a few of the boys have now, because I don't think a lot of people put two and two together for a while. But I think since obviously Shells and she's been to a lot of games and she's been to a lot of things, everyone's kind of putting it together now. So yes, he did, to be fair.
How does that make you feel, John?
What, that he's read my man's book?
Well, not just him, that everyone has read your man's book. It's been one of the best-selling books in the bleeding country for I don't know how long, and there's so much details about your life and her life in it. And
it's a tough one for me, this one, because, like, I don't know, I don't really speak much. That's why I'd come on. I, you know what I mean? I don't really say a lot of personal stuff. Yeah, it takes a while. Like, it took me 10 years to trust me missus or whatever, you know, to build that trust. You know, I've been let down a lot in my life to openly speak about how I feel about things. But I think obviously if you can help people or whatever, it's good. But no, listen, I didn't want me mate to write the book at the time. You know, it's I didn't know what she'd put in it. She respected a lot of my things that I didn't want to be in it, which obviously she asked me about. But I, to be honest, I didn't know a lot about her own stuff at the start. I haven't read the whole book now. I read, I think, half of it. And the stuff she's been through, which is hard to read, it's your mind, like, you know what I mean? She raised you. It's not nice. She's an absolute warrior. You know, I know where I get my fight from. There's no doubt about that. And for it to bring us to where we were is, you know, credit to her and the stuff she's been through. But there was always, you know, my nan and granddad, you know, I always seen them as superheroes because at their time in recovery, they were. When I was a kid, they could be the parents or the, you know, grandparents that they couldn't to their own kids. You know, some senses they kind of used me because my mom was so young as, like, you know, bit of a second chance, which my granddad always did. He always tried to, you know, he was in recovery. I think he was a sponsor to like 2,000 people. He spent his whole life trying to undo what he did with his own children, you know. So there was a bit of that between the both of us. I didn't want her to do it. And it wasn't I just was like, I'd prefer if you didn't, you know. But then the more I thought about it, like, and everyone has their own right to tell their own story, you know. It's been great since he's released it. She's helped so many people. But like I said, when I read the book, when it got to me, I had to put it down because, you know, I don't want to make it about myself because it's not, but people get it misconstrued if that's the right way to say that, like, that was my life as well with her in some of this, you know. It's people always ask me about the book, you know, about my ma, which I couldn't speak highly of, but I had to live some of that life with her, you know. It's not my story. I had to see things as a kid that I probably shouldn't have. And it happens, like, you know, it's one of those things, your situation and all. But then when it got to me in the book, it just got too real, kind of. You know, I think she mentions in it a part where she had come from England. She sent me to Ireland first, and then she followed, and she walked in a room and my back's to her, and she could just see me content playing. And like, when I read that, it kind of just, you know, stunned me a little bit, because at that time, I can remember my dad left probably not too long before that, and then my ma was out of the picture for a while, you know. She, and I'm not saying it in a way, but then I lost both my ma and dad in that time. It's hard to say, to be fair, this, isn't it, to talk on this, but no, it's
take your time, bro.
It's tough to say, like, it is. You lose both parents, and my ma going off the scene to get herself right was probably the best thing she could have done for our family, and it's what was needed for me to even have one parent at the time, you know. So to get herself through what she was going through, you know, and she came and we were together, but you know, my grandparents did raise me as well, so it's hard to read, because first of all, it's my ma and I love her, obviously, and nobody wants to read that about their ma. And you know, I didn't know some of the stuff, and for people knowing, couldn't give a shit, to be honest, because it's testament to where we've both come in life, in my own opinion. You know, someone would have said, you know, where my ma is now and where I'm sat right now with the lives we both have, you know, you'd laugh or say there's no chance. So that's where I probably should use my voice a little bit more for people in similar situations like myself, where I think the gaffer said in his interview that if you put your mind, time, energy and effort into anything, you genuinely can do anything. And like I said, my mom and myself are that. But yeah, back to what you asked me, it's the book's the book, isn't it? Like, you know, it's a brilliant book. It's my ma's life and it's my life. And it's like, so for me, it's just hard. Like, you know, maybe I will read the rest of it one day, because my ma did say to me, the one bit you didn't read is all the good stuff. You know, so maybe I will.
Get through the bad to get to the good, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's just when I come into it, it just felt too real. Like, yeah. You know.
She's just saying that to get you to read the rest of it.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I hear her too much at home or when she's around me, so I don't need to read anymore. But yeah.
Will you ever write a book? Because you are a little bit private, aren't you? Like, there's not a lot of people that will have ever heard a lot of the stuff you're even talking about now.
Well, you wouldn't let me do any other podcast if I did this one. Like,
it's true.
It is true.
But in fairness, you did promise to come on. What did we joke at the start? It should have been episode 160 or something.
Yeah, it was actually. What were we on there? 19 something?
194. You should have been easily, yeah. It would have been about that.
Why did I tell you why I didn't come on it?
He wanted to
win the league.
Am I allowed to say that? Yeah, he wanted to win the league before he come on, yeah. And then I got to a stage where I was looking dodgy, so he was on a bit of a losing streak.
And what did I say to you?
He said, when we win the league, it'll be on, and we will.
Oh, I heard another rumour as well. So because you had the broken foot, were you in a boom?
Yeah, no, I think it was the Zurich game. I had probably the best game I played up to the point that Chelsea, I was... You know, I played loads of games this season. I went out with my foot, and I still have it now. I have a broken foot at the minute, but it was one of those breaks where the doc could help me get through it to the end of the year. Another one of them, which I probably should just take it in a couple of weeks out, but there was no way the situation we were in, I would have, you know, and the manager said, I just love you having around the bench, and, you know, if you're needed, I know you're there too. But, you know, that's why I probably didn't play as much the back end of the season where I did at the start. And then
you played a lot at the start, though.
Yeah, and we were doing well, and, you know, I'm in my boot now in the off season, but I didn't want to wear it on here because it doesn't go with that.
Well, that's why I heard you didn't come on the first time, because you didn't want to come on with the boot.
Yeah, it could have been actually.
Oh, it was that Shell step.
Yeah, it was. It wasn't.
Have a reliable source, don't worry.
Yeah, and you needed to win the league as well. Yeah.
Just touching on, so what led to that question was saying that Duff, I read your man's book. Did that help you trust him more? Is it like removing the barrier that you were like, oh, you know about me more now? That like, you didn't need to get a read on him. You didn't need to feel him out. He's like, cut the bullshit. He's like, look, I've invested in you this much. I'm actually doing background research on you. I know all about your man, all about your upbringing. Did that help you trust him more?
Yeah, like, to be honest, I trusted him from... No one would have rolled the dice on me at all, but you know, the gaffer backs himself as a manager, and he's like, I trust him from the start. But yeah, I know what you're saying. Like, you have to build a relationship with someone. And to be honest, it was, I think it was Rocky at the start, but, you know, but it wasn't Rocky, but like, when it's a bit weird when someone tells you they read your man's book, especially our manager, like, oh, but it did make me think, like, this guy's got time here for me, and he's putting effort in that he doesn't need to, you know, and that's testament to who he is as a manager. He's unbelievable. Like, he gives everything to Shells. Like, absolutely. I wouldn't be surprised if every player had a book, he'd read all of them. Like, I genuinely think that he's not just, and I hate saying it because it looks like you're being sucking up to the manager and that, but he's just a good bloke.
Yeah.
He cares about me. He cared about me. I had chats with him, private ones, about, you know, life and stuff. And I genuinely think now if I rang him and I needed something, I was in bother, he'd be like, yeah, what you need? No problem. You know, I'll come and do this or I'll come and do that. But at the same time, he'd if he doesn't, you know, think you're doing it, he'd crack the whip on you as well. Mm-hmm. So he is good at that. Yeah, he's brilliant at that. And I don't think he does it just to get the best out of you. I genuinely think he cares.
Yeah, well, it's that man management, didn't it? Like, you often hear players would say, like, oh, I'd run through the wall for a manager, but, like, how do you get there? You need to realise, oh, he'd do it for me.
Yeah.
And, like, there's that funny story as well. Sean Gannon's out walking his dog and he pulls up beside him saying, I want to sign you. Like, how did he even know where he was?
He's probably a stalk in his house for, like, a week or two. I don't know. But that's why we are where we are. That's why Shell's, like, you know, the squad you put together is just a group of misfits. Like,
well, that's,
you
know? And that's another thing I want to talk about. Do you think he deliberately brought in players who had a chip on their shoulder?
A point to prove.
I'm like, right, let's go and do it. And from the start, it was a siege mentality. It's us against the world. It was like, fuck everybody. Even when, do you remember that time the fans got banned?
For the Galway game?
Yeah,
they threw the flare.
When they threw the flare, he was like, yeah, no problem. This is not changing hand because it's Shells against the world anyways. Yeah. And everyone was like, all right, relax now.
No, he's, I think it's a lot down to as well, like, your budget and what players you can bring in. Like, you know, I don't know what their budget's like, but you could, a lot of it would be down to with that. And who doesn't like a player with a chip on the shoulder? Like, you know, if you're going to war with someone and they have something to prove, or they just have that extra bit of, you know, like myself, oh, they fucking hate me, they abuse me over there, and you have that in the back of your mind, it just, for me, ekes that bit more out of you. It's just natural, like, you know, there's no getting away from that. And maybe he does like that, I don't know. He wouldn't tell you what he goes for. Like, you have to be up to scratch football-wise as well. You know, he's not just going to sign you because, you know, you were sat at the bench somewhere else. Like, he does his homework football-wise, and he has his own systems and his own ways of playing. So if you don't suit them, then I don't think he'd sign you just for that. But it's definitely a big part.
Mm. He's so serious in interviews, and he's so, like, he's an enigma. I can't fucking say that. He's an enigma in interviews, and you can see he's, like, ready to snap. But then you see the celebrations in the dressing room. He's ringing Mourinho and he's like, I'll put 500 quid in the kitty if he doesn't answer. It's about 4 o'clock in the morning in Tokyo. Of course he's not going to answer.
It's probably Mourinho though. He's probably up watching tactics as well. Like, you know, the two of them are probably up late. No, he's class, man. I can't speak any higher. He is. He's mad, like, but, like you said, who isn't a bit mad in life? He takes a lot of heat for the players. Sometimes that helps us.
I think he's brought a lot of good new attention to the league as well.
Ah, definitely.
Like, even when you see the likes of Valenciano and all are talking about it, and the boys are saying, see, Duffer won the league with Shells, and like that's how they're bringing so many new boys. And Camille, if I'm being honest, it nearly made a fan out of me, but the league, look, I've never been a fan of the League of Ireland. 100%. And I've been watching games and fucking keeping up with it every single week, like, oh, who's getting results? I've never been like that with the League of Ireland. And it's not like as if I'm a Blade Shells fan by any means, but I've just been enjoying looking at the whole process.
That's big
class,
I
think Duffer has nearly done that to an extent, like, with his interviews and the madness and the way people are talking about him. Like, how are Shells getting on there? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think I can imagine he's been a big factor on so many new faces in the League of Ireland as well.
100%. Like, he's gold in media, isn't he? Like, you see the media room when he's speaking. Like, it's like, I think he probably gets more than the being Irish manager at this stage.
I think he does,
He's just a good guy. Like, he speaks his mind. He's not any different. He just comes out and says what he thinks. Like, it's just, and I genuinely think he does love the league. Like,
And
he's not just saying, you know, I love the league. He loves the league. Like, he puts all his time and effort into it. And, like, look what the outcome's been. Like, it just shows why he was such a top player. Like, you know. Yeah.
I think the standard in the league itself, though, has risen.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Like, even when you mentioned it there, there's, like, Shells, Derry, Rovers, all these are all up there. So it could have been six teams like you said there.
Yeah.
All at the top, like, and it's like, that's great to see, like.
Yeah, I think there's more money in the league now. It's on TV every week. Yeah. That's what I needed. Like, see Virgin RTE now. I think the playoff game between Strahd
and Bray.
And Bray's on telly on Saturday now. Like, that wouldn't have happened 4 years ago. You would draw them Bray on the telly, like, nobody'd watch it, but everyone's into it. But it takes people challenging, like, it takes, you know, if Rovers were just 20 points ahead, would it have had so much, you know, as well? It has to be, like you said, the standard is much better. Like, I've played in England, this is really good standard, because a lot of boys are, you know, staying in the league rather than going away longer than they would have when I was a kid. When I was a kid, it was 15, 16, you go to England, you know. Yeah. Now those boys are staying until they're 19, 20, 21. So you have the young boys and the old boys coming back from England. So, you know, it is good. You see, like, Padraig Amond at Waterford, like, you know, I think he was top scorer this year. He's 30 odd. A lot of boys wouldn't have came back from England if it wasn't where it was, or, you know. So it is much better. Like, the standard's top drawer. Like,
yeah.
It is.
And you can make a decent living out of it as well.
Now you can. People are getting paid a quarter
of money, like,
to stay, like, you know. Yeah. Rather than going to League One and League Two in England, you can get that in Ireland now, where you couldn't get that 4 or 5 years ago. You know, a lot of boys were working and playing.
Yeah.
Nearly every team now, I think, is full time next
year. If draw to win, every team is full time next year.
When's the last time that's happened? Yeah. You've had UCD, you've had, you know, all the other ones.
Yeah.
So
it's class, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
And I think I seen something that Shells and Derry game was the most watched League of Ireland game of all time. I think it was over 400,000 people.
I see, look, you know, it needed to be on telly as well. That's the difference. Yeah, it is.
It's mad.
The stadiums are full as well. It's unbelievable. Like, some of the games we've played, like, Tala's full every week. Like,
yeah, and it's 10,000 people.
Like, literally, like, it's getting monster, like. So it's great, like.
So I'm not looking for the figure. I just want to know, was it agreed upon at the start of the season, if we win the league, we get X? Do you have that conversation?
Yeah, you have, like, what your targets are, like, you know what I mean? It's the bonus is, like, where you finish in the league. So you get money for getting into Europe, you get money for winning the league, and then a proportion of that gets split between the players.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Are you in the middle of that negotiation now?
No, I just think it's, so we don't know yet, basically. It depends how much you've played and how much. Yeah. It's actually quite complicated. I know, I'm not trying to sway around. If I knew how much I got, I'll come back and tell you about it.
You're like me, Hall Martin. Dodging the questions.
We're going to build more houses,
With the money you're on, you fucking would.
No chance, you joke me.
And come here.
I'm not getting paid to do this, no.
I'm saying, boys, 30.
I'm only joking.
You're actually out of contract, that Shells.
I am.
Yeah, so exploring other options.
No, I wouldn't play for anyone else now, to be honest.
In Ireland?
Yeah. Like I said, even just the manager, I'll just know what him and his staff and players are doing behind the scenes, and no disrespect to anyone else, I just don't think they'd be doing what they're doing. You know, this is the pinnacle for me in Ireland at the minute. Yeah, they might not have the biggest stadium or the best training ground, but they have by far, for me, the best club, best fans, best staff and best players. Even the you know, we mentioned Dan, all the people behind the scenes have been so welcoming to not just me, my family, you know, the little man comes to games, the Jay, the kit man, you know, Johnny, all of them have just been great. Like, you know, my missus brings the little man to the games and they're welcoming to the kit room, and it's just home. It feels like home. I've been there, 12 months and I've won a league, and it just felt home. It felt like I thought it would be when I come home, you know, content, you know, family coming to games, no hate, just enjoying the matches. Even the games when I haven't played this year, I've just been content, you know what I mean? Trusted the manager, he knows what it needs, and just love it there. You know, I think, like I said, there's new conversations to be had, but nothing signed yet or anything.
Now, the reason why I said that is because we're talking about the new exposure that people are getting for the League of Ireland. A lot of people don't realise that, as you said, there's part-time teams still in it this season, and a lot of the players are on very, like, short-term deals, 12 months. Like, if you're on a two-year deal, that's seen as a long-term deal, like, you know?
Yeah, no, it's one of the things that probably needs to improve on in the league. I think, in my opinion, in England, you'd get longer. For over here, it's just kind of like they don't want to commit too long. But I think it is changing. It's changing a lot, I think. I think if you're young and you're good enough, like I'm a bit older now, you know, there's a lot of mileage in these legs and it's hard to accept, but I'm probably coming to the elder stage. Like I've got loads more to give than even last season. I think I've done well, but even football wise, I still don't think I've shown what I can do and what I have shown in England, you know. So coming to this side of it's a bit different. Sometimes you have to accept you come out of the team because you're older and it needs young, fresh legs. But I'm adapting to that. I'm adapting to my role of being a leader and driving the dressing room, because it's hard to have players with experience in a team, especially when it was coming to the back end of the season of, you know, just staying calm and pressing people on. But listen, I love it there. I'd stay there forever. If I don't kick another ball and that's me, what a way to go out. But I still think I have a lot more to give, football and Shell. So let's see what happens. Like.
And you're facing your biggest challenge now as well coming up. You're talking about the miles and your legs. You're looking to race 30.
It's not a race,
That's three nervous laughs.
This guy rings me all the time saying we're going to race. Like, what are we doing here?
I want the 100 meter race against you. John thinks there's absolutely no chance.
I didn't say that. I laughed at you.
Yeah, well, wait. That's worse than
saying. Yeah, but there's no worse when people put words in your mouth. Like, I didn't say there's no chance. I just laughed.
So he has a chance.
Have I got a chance, Sean?
Everyone has a chance, Sean. Shell's had no chance and we won the league. Yeah, I could fall over. Of course, there's probably what.
Have you fell? I'd let you go again.
I don't know.
I wouldn't let you go again. No chance. I wouldn't let anyone go again. I'm running out of there with that medal. See you later.
Right, so we're organising this then,
are we? Yeah, we'll do it, yeah. We'll do it for charity or something.
Yeah, we'll do it.
We'll try and get some people to
Donate
to it, yeah.
Yeah. Have you aren't the plug?
Anyone to plug?
Anything to plug in the episode.
What's that mean?
That you want to promote, aren't you? You want to give a shout out there?
You have a...
Well, literally crossing the ball in here, John. The keeper's at the flap now. You just have to
open goal
in.
Now.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you've slurped a couple of the cans, I think, of water that I work with. You know, I think the older I get now, I need to start looking. I'm 100% in football, but you still need to keep an eye on, you know, stuff away from football. We have so much free time. That's one thing I wanted to say. Anyone that is playing football, you know, if you're younger, do your education, do something else away from football, because it goes like that. Honest to God, it's, you know, could be 29 and you have a kid and a missus and you have nothing else to fall back on after. So that's what I did, I think, 3 years ago. Myself, my best mate Mark and his brother Connor, their two brothers, Joran Colwood, wanted to do something, and we ended up putting water in a can, well canned water, 100% Irish, ran and owned, and we've been going 3 years now, and we're on sale in, I think we're in Cisco, BWG, different places, and on sale in America, and doing rounds of investment currently, you know, looking now to bring people in as well and different things. And it's just spiraled. Honestly, I didn't know that much about business until I got involved in it. I absolutely love it. I love sending emails. I love meeting people. I love growing something, because same with, I don't know if there's something wrong with me that I love to prove people wrong, but when we first did it, everyone thought we were insane and we were laughed at. And then after a year, we got a little bit of investment off someone and we set up our own machinery and our own cannon line. And then a year after that, we were on sale in America. And then this year now, just gone, we've dug our own spring. And we are in the process of hopefully doing one and bringing on more investors to grow it even bigger. You know, it's been a whirlwind, but it's been great. Like, I love every minute of it. And I think it's going to go places, which it already has. But yeah, it's great. It's going well. You like it anyway. You don't like, you haven't tried, you hate sparkling water, don't you?
Can't stand it.
What's it taste like? Pins and needles.
Oh, mate, static off a telly. Like, it's just, it's
static off a telly.
It's
we'll get you in an ad for it then.
Because, you know, when you open and you're like, lovely, and take a mouthful, it does a delayed reaction. You don't get it. And then it goes, oh, bollocks, that's sparkling water.
And you just haven't had a good one. Have you had a sparkling water from a can?
Probably. I've had the well canned a few.
Yeah, you loved it, didn't you?
It was lovely.
Yeah.
Normal water now, not the sparkling shui. You've compared it to this fella.
But there is, the sparkling water is, because I just left that in the fridge.
And then you're thirsty,
The can looks good in the fridge.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that makes the fridge look good, but then.
Because everyone's coming in going, like, hey, your fridge look nice there, bro. Yeah, yeah. Just want to see the inside of it.
I never used to do the shopping, bro. Yes, you might just makes it look full.
Nice and neat, everything's straight,
But yeah, a cold can of sparkling water one of the nights, because I had no still water done the job.
How high? dehydrated way after. You know, woke up bouncing.
Gets himself, mate, honestly.
It is, honestly.
On this podcast.
No, he's just growth. Oh, that's growth, that is, isn't it?
Yeah, growth from to middle class. That's what that is.
No, yeah, sometimes you can dip in and out of it. You don't have to live there. Just, you know what I mean? Just...
So
dip
you the toe in. Just dipping in and out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Just dip the toe in and see what it's like. They have nice things in there, you know what I mean? We can take them back to ourselves. Yeah.
And come here, you need to give a shout out to Fiona Gibson as well.
Fiona Gibson, actually. Yeah, we heard she'd just be listening.
Yeah, I'm just smiling now because she's going to be buzzing and laughing that you said that. Yeah, I think she listens to all your podcasts.
Which one you think? She definitely does.
Well, I hope she does now that I asked her to shout her out. Or...
She's going to listen to this and be like, what the fuck are they on about? Yeah, no. Listen to one episode.
Yeah. She'll laugh at that now.
Yeah. No. Well,
John, thanks for coming in. And we really do appreciate it. And
thanks very much, Sean.
You want to wear the medal before I go?
Oh, he has the league medal. You have to have a look, Rick. Have you been on
You've been begging me all week to bring it in.
That's mad. I wanted the trophy. Where's the trophy?
Mark Coyle took it to Donegal because I was going to bring it in. So if you want to give him a bit now, you can.
Is there a custody battle for the trophy? Like,
well, he just ran off to Donegal with it, so none of us can use it, so we can slag him about it.
Go to Dolvin House to get the bleeding custody of our own trophy.
Yeah.
Would you look right? Get another one next year, anyways.
Yeah, it's Champions League, what it sounds.
It was funny because I was watching the game on the telly and the medal presentation. Jesus Christ. I've seen a lot of people online giving a lot of stick as well.
I know, it's bad, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like yous were nowhere. Like, to be.
It was hard because we were in Derry, though, I think.
Yeah, but it's not as if, like, they didn't know you had a chance of winning the fucking league.
No, they put us in the corner flag, like stood in the corner. Yeah, it was mad.
But our producer, Owen, told us to tell you that he ran on the pitch after the Derry game, came behind you, gave you a big hug.
Oh, did he?
Now, you probably don't even know what he looks like or who
there
he was.
There was a lot of people giving hugs everywhere, so. Yeah.
No, he wants you.
Was he the guy with the soft hands that gave me a hug?
He wants you to know that you're loved by all the Shells fans.
Yeah, and he's actually sick
today. I love them.
Yeah, he's sick today. And
he was meant to do the episode, so he's...
Oh, was he?
Yeah.
So, shout out to
Try and get him a jersey or something. We'll do that.
Yeah.
Sign
one.
Go on.
There you go. Be the Lord.
So, don't say we never done that for you, Owen.
Yeah.
And before we wrap up, a big shout out to our sponsor, FBT.
FBT gyms are the best in the business, giving you so much more than your average gym.
Join us in a supportive environment dedicated to helping you achieve your fitness goals with locations in Swords, Keulock, Drogheda and now Tallaght.
Whether you're a beginner or a seasoned athlete, FBT provide the resources, motivation and expertise to empower your fitness journey.
The membership includes a free induction to get you started.
Unleash your potential at FBT Gyms for only €44 a month with no contract and full class access. Sign up now at fbtgyms.ie. today. All right, that's it then, boys. Thanks, El Siobhan.
Boom.
Talking Bollocks with FBT Gyms. Unleash your potential at FBT Gyms, where strength meets community. FBTGyms.ie.
Go Loud. Sounds better with us.
Subscribe to this podcast for free on the Go Loud app.
What you waiting for? Put your back in it. Just a little more. Throw your whip in it now. Fill your body up. Walk it hard and slow. When you finish that.
The Hip Knocker.
Go down. Go down. Go down. Come up.
This is an advertisement for BetterHelp Therapy Online. There are so many things that kids are curious about and they just have no fear diving in to learn something new.
Yeah, like how to do a wheelie.
Yeah. And then as we grow older, we don't take the time out to learn new things. But curiosity doesn't have to be lost to childhood. Thankfully, therapy can help you reconnect with your inner child and get you excited to learn and grow again.
Now, I might not be able to teach you how to do a wheelie, but it helps give you the skills to get back on the bike no matter how many times you've fallen off.
If you're thinking about starting therapy, then why not give BetterHelp a try?
All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge.
And it's entirely online, making it convenient, flexible and suitable no matter your schedule.
With over 5,000 therapists available, BetterHelp can provide access to mental health professionals with a wide variety of expertise.
Rediscover your curiosity with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/bollocks to get 10% off your first month.
That's betterhelp.com/BOLLOX.